It's not necessarily the sound. It might possibly be a memory that's associated with it. There's lots of studies out that talk about that. If you've ever been in a car accident, what happens to your body when you hear screeching tires behind you? You clench, right? It's out of reaction. You react physically. We listened to Peter in the video. We've seen that one before. And I can't imagine for the rest of Peter's life here on earth what it would be like when he heard a rooster crow. After he was told that this would happen, after Jesus said that to him, I can't imagine how that would feel. Any other time, a rooster crowing, well, for most is irritating because it means you're time to wake up. It's good morning. The roosters are awake. For Peter, I don't think it could be good morning. The roosters are awake anymore. A rooster crowing is the sound of new beginnings. For Peter, the rest of his life, he would remember that feeling of that night. Yes, we know because we read further in that Jesus forgave him. All was well in the end. But he still made that mistake. And so the physical reaction to that sound has to be attached to that. And it would probably bother him. Maybe not as much as we might think, but I'm assuming. Even after everything turned out for Kate, even after he saw Jesus, even after he went on his own to minister, every morning would be like waking up to something that you made a mistake. I don't know if you've ever done some type of a model or maybe a puzzle or something that you have to do. And I don't know if you're like that, like me, but if I'm making something, all I can see is the mistakes that I made. Others can come along and say, oh, you know, if I painted a wall or if I did something, they say, that looks really good. I'm like, yeah, well, there's mistakes all over. There's lines. I can see that imperfection in the wall. And other people are going, what? But for you, it's different because you know, you see, you're reminded of that imperfection. And I think Peter was. If Peter was cast in a movie, he would be the hero's best friend, the one you'd really like, the one who's funny, the one who never quite gets what's going on, but he's there ready to have a good time. We know Peter because he stepped out of the boat to walk to Jesus. We know Peter because he drew his sword and cut off the soldier's ear. We know Peter because we all have a friend like him. When Peter walks on water, we sometimes forget to mention that Peter didn't believe Jesus at first. And Peter says, if that's really you, stand up, come out in the water. And Jesus says, okay, then come on. And what does Peter do? He gets out of the boat and he takes his eyes off of Jesus and he sinks. And what does Peter do right away? He says, Jesus, save me. Peter sinks because he doubts. He doesn't doubt Jesus. I believe he doubts himself. And any disciple would want to follow his rabbi. If your rabbi is out in the, as a culture, if your rabbi is out in the water, you're going to walk towards him. From the beginning, Jesus is trying to create something in Peter. He didn't start with, if you love me, feed my sheep, because Jesus was preparing Peter for ministry right from the beginning, right from when he first met him. Jesus knew how it was going to end, and he knew Peter would deny him, and he let Peter do it because of what it would create in Peter. It would make him into the kind of minister that Jesus needed him to be at that time. We like Peter because Peter is like us. He's the most relatable, the most normal out of all of them. What would you do in his situation? Peter was originally named Simon, and people in the scripture seem to get their names changed quite a bit as they grow. And Jesus changed Simon's name to Petra, which means rock. And Peter was the rock, the stone on which Jesus said he was going to build his church. And so we relate to Peter because we too really want to know Jesus and want to be like Jesus, but sometimes we just don't get it. And if we relate to Peter, it's because we kind of are a Peter. And so what does that say about the church that Jesus is building today and has been building? I think it says this, and you really need to hear me clearly. I think it says we don't need to be perfect. Maybe it says we don't need to have it all together. And maybe it says, maybe, just maybe, it says we understand that we are loved and we can share his love no matter who we are and where we're from. The church was never supposed to be the place with all the answers. And sometimes I think of the church as being a beggar showing another beggar where the food is. We're hungry for spiritual things, and somebody else comes along, they're hungry. We're just kind of trying to help them, point them into something that maybe we can help them with, that maybe we don't know or they know that we want to know. And certainly what Jesus endured on the cross and accomplished on that cross and on his hours up to that cross, certainly this experience, certainly he would know and could understand what his disciples are going through and enduring all this, how horrific this would be. And sometimes in our lives, we get lost in the events of when we're reading scripture because we don't quite see the full picture when we're reading it. And we get lost in chapters like John 18 and 19. And we forget how those moments can affect the disciples. And after all was said and done, the things they encountered began to make sense. But in the moment, the emotional roller coaster like we go through in a regular life, that was an experience that must have been completely overwhelming for all these disciples that were going through this, that were witnessing what was happening. Jesus knew. He knew the toll these emotions would take on his disciples, especially Peter. And Peter, he got hit pretty hard. How many times did a crowing rooster cause Peter to shiver in his heart throughout the remainder days of his life? Jesus told Peter the denial was coming that night. Peter didn't believe Jesus, but it happened again and again. And the rooster crowed, and that piercing sound in the night must have replayed in his mind over and over again throughout his life. Did Peter ever pick up a sword and not think about the slash he took at the guard? There are things in our own lives that maybe we're wishing we hadn't done or hadn't said. God can and does use those moments around a table, choices of betrayal, words of denial, hands being warmed by the fire, echoes of a rooster in the night, and tears that we cry from disappointment and shame to lead us to what feels like a loss, but it's actually new hope and victory. Peter could look back if he wanted to and go, Jesus told me this was going to happen. But when a rooster crows, he can say, and he rose again. But Sunday is coming soon. John's words in chapter 19, verse 36 can't be overlooked. It's worth taking a quick peek at. And it took place on and around Good Friday, and it said this, John 19, 36, for these things took place that the scripture might be fulfilled. All that Jesus experienced were parts that must come together to accomplish in full what the scriptures had told before through the prophets of God. Such fulfillment of these prophecies of these scriptures would mean an emotional and physical difficulty that felt like losing rather than winning along the way for so many of the people involved with Jesus. Jesus must win the victory at Gethsemane before losing his life on the cross at Calvary. We know the end, but they didn't. And they made mistakes along the way. And through the power of prayer in the garden, Jesus trusted his Father to bring forth the victory, although it would not be without pain and suffering. But he would soon be the king who defeated death and who would rise from the dead. And that's something that a lot of people have a hard time dealing with. The Hebrew religion rejected Jesus. The Greek culture ignored him. And the Roman law crucified him. All three languages and cultures tried to announce that he and all he had lived for had been lost on this night. The battle was over. That's it. Jesus declared his life and mission complete in John 19:30, and he announced, "It is finished." For those standing around, they must have been very confused, or they'd be like, "Yeah, it is. It's over, and you're done." John lets his readers, in the book of John, he lets his readers know that after Jesus gave up his spirit in death, his side was pierced, but his bones not broken. Out rushed blood and water. Some medical opinion suggests that the mingling, both blood and water rushing forth, indicated a ruptured heart. And thus, while no bones were broken in Jesus' death, he died of a broken heart for people that he came to save. What truly had been lost now had been found by having a way back home through Jesus Christ's salvation because of his sacrifice. But in that moment, it must have felt very lonely. It must have felt like a loss for the whole cause. But that feeling of losing in those moments was actually the first seconds of victory over sin, over death, over Satan and hell for all humanity that would call in the name of Jesus for salvation. It would take some time, I'm sure, for Peter to know that what felt like a loss actually was a win. He would not know that on Friday. This was his dark night of the soul that would later identify incredible moments in his past. Peter was drained emotionally. I know that we all get a little cranky when we're emotional and tired, and somebody comes up to you and they're trying to say, "Aren't you that one who's with Jesus, that guy that we're..." It's like, "No, look, just, no, it's not me. You're tired, you've been up all night." And then a rooster crows and you're like, "What?" And then you're really irritated because what's happening was told and it's just flowing out. He was drained emotionally and filled with regret on this night. It was anything but a good Friday to Peter because his rabbi was murdered. And he couldn't tie it all together. And if he felt like he lost, it felt like we lost. And so I say to you today that you don't have to be perfect. Christians, the church, they're filled with a lot of imperfect people. And that's okay. We can have differences and we can think differently and still it's okay. Because Jesus did this for that person that irritates you the most as well. Jesus did this for those that we don't see eye to eye, or that we don't really like being around, or to the person on the street who smells a little, Or you fill in the blank. What irritates you the most? God died for them too. It's kind of cliche, but he did. It's a reality. And so what are you going to do with that tonight? Peter didn't know. You do. And so I'm here to tell you today, Jesus died for our sins. He died on the cross. He died for imperfect people. It's Friday today, but Sunday's coming. Don't forget that. It's not over. His work was finished, but he still had something else to do. We're going to take communion. I'm going to ask the servers if they would come forward, and Pastor Christian's going to hand out the communion to you. As you take communion, we're going to sing Lead Me to Calvary. I want you to forget about what's going on in your life. Forget about who's around you. Forget about what you got to do this weekend. I'm sure you've got turkeys and hams and hot cross buns and whatever everybody else cooks. I have no idea what's going on out there. I'm sure you've got all that to worry about. But for now, don't worry about it. For now, think about what Christ did for you on the cross. We're going to take communion together. We're going to think about his body that was sacrificed, the blood. And it's just going to be between you and Jesus.